All my riddles are answered in the movies.
That's a big Twinkie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to GMC episode 13, the podcast that has a very sore tooth. No,
we're teenagers.
I have no other way of introducing this show other than the fact that my tooth is starting to be sore again. I've been suffering from a sore tooth all week, and I'm surprised I'm even here. But that's okay. I'm Dave McDay.
This is your house, of course.
I'm Richard Gray.
Dave Longo.
How are you, boys?
Pretty good.
It's actually
I'm not being charged with anything, man.
it's been a couple of weeks, and I thought it was probably time we did another show.
Yeah, but it's GMC. We can just do one or two a year, and it'll still be all right.
Well, that's right, because we've never set a set schedule for this show anyway, have we?
Never, and never will. Never will.
We keep them guessing because nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, the comfy chair.
We're going to start the show with a slightly more serious tone, I think. I think
too late for that.
And this is news I woke up to this morning, so I thought maybe we should talk about this very quickly, and then we can get back to the funny.
The little paperboy was running down the road. He was screaming it out.
Extra, extra, extra. Extra.
It's funny you mentioned little paperboy. I'll take that back. I woke up to the news that Bryan Singer has been accused of sex crimes. Now, this is all alleged. This is all accused. We are not saying he did or didn't or anything else because we don't know.
Between you and me, he did.
Oh, hey, just, hey, hey,
no,
hey,
sorry.
Hey. So
alleged. We're using the word
alleged.
As a formal, well, I do have a law degree, so I'll use the word alleged liberally.
Cool. Excellent. So apparently Michael Egan III described that he was.
I haven't seen the first two. Will I understand the story?
He described that he was basically, for lack of a better word, a male prostitute for these guys. A bunch of Hollywood types, including allegedly including Bryan Singer, who were plied with promises of fame.
David, they can't hear the inverted quotes.
Inverted quotes, plied with, according to his words, lots of drugs and promises of fame to basically be sexual playthings for these famous people.
Wow.
Both in Los Angeles and in Hawaii. Apparently they had these little dens of sin set up, all allegedly at this point. Now, Bryan Singer, of course, has flatly denied any of this. So
he's not really going to go, yeah, it's a,
yeah,
fair,
well,
it's a fair cop, but society's to blame.
So this is all going to be very interesting being played out in the courts. What is interesting in this article is they do talk about the fact that the statute of limitations for these crimes has actually passed. This is allegedly took place between 98 and 99.
Right.
But the lawyer for Egan is basically trying to push the courts to open the case anyway and put aside the statute of limitations in this particular case. What do you guys think of this?
Well, I was surprised that you actually brought it up because my inclination was to not talk about the story at all this week. Because even though it's Bryan Singer and we all love the X-Men films except for his aesthetic, which is mostly, you know, leather jackets and dyed hair and goggles. Apparently,
lots of goggles. Yes.
And you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning, right?
Same as everything else.
Happens else, yeah. Yeah. Look, I didn't want to bring this up because again, it's all alleged. I don't tend to like following these Hollywood gossip stories. The only reason that it grabbed my attention at all was that it was Bryan Singer.
Well, the only reason it grabbed my attention was because it was Bryan Singer, A. B, it is literally 2 weeks away from the release of the X-Men film.
Days of future past!
So the timing couldn't be more perfect for this lawyer to actually be doing this. He's put Singer right in the spotlight. But also because this
There's no such thing as bad publicity, David.
That's true. This is the second time Singer has been embroiled in a bit of a sexual conduct case. If you remember back when Apt Pupil came out.
If Bryan Singer can't remember doing it, does that mean that he can deny?
Barry O'Farrell on a bottle of wine, right?
Yeah.
He's brought down by a bottle of grape.
That was a really expensive bottle of wine, by the way.
Here in Australia, if you're listening from overseas, the New South Wales Premier this week was brought down because he was originally received a gift of it was alleged that he received
the name of this episode is going to be allegedly.
that he received a gift of a very expensive bottle of Grange 1959.
It was worth like $300.
It was $3,000.
Oh, $3,000
bottle of Grange. Which if you go to Penfolds now, it's gone up to about
$4,900. Of course, yeah. I believe you can buy a bottle on eBay. Even
that's inflation
that.
For you.
This was found in the catacombs beneath the Vatican, right?
He denied having received the bottle of wine. He denied having sent a thank you call. And said, like, there's no thank you call because I never received it, you know. Mm. And then, like, less than a day later, this note turns up with, you know, his handwriting saying, thank you for giving me this bottle of wine. And so he had to resign by the end of the day. New South Wales premiers are a little bit like casks of wine. In the sense that it doesn't matter what party they're from, doesn't matter what they look like, they're all shit. we've had a pretty bad run. But
allegedly.
No. We've got lots of evidence to suggest that. But back to Bri Vore. No, Brian Singer. Brian K. Vaughan hasn't diddle kitties.
Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan's an excellent writer. No, let's not. Why did you bring Brian K. Vaughan into this? Okay.
Singergate.
Singergate. All right, there we go.
Singergate.
let's wind this back just for a second and basically say, I don't know how many people remember this, but when Bryan Singer's app Pupil came out, he had a shower scene in it, and it was all set in a high school, and there was nude buttocks and stuff like that in it, and people raked him over the coals basically saying that he was showing underage nudity. It was, you know, a step up from pedophilia.
I'm entering Batman.
Shall we go into the men's locker room?
Pretty much. And basically all that went away. I don't even know how all that went away because I stopped following it because it bored me. But so he's no stranger to controversy.
Yeah.
At this point, is let's just say that. I think this probably will all go away. We don't
it
know.
Will if, blow over.
Oh. We don't know if he is actually involved
unless
in any
he
of this.
Comes clean.
It's basically the story of the film Doubt.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the end, there'll be just one person going, Thister, I have doubts.
Tell him, Paige.
All right, let's move on. From
Philip Seymour Hoffman strung out on the floor.
Allegedly.
No, he's dead, dude.
All I can say about all of this is that Days of Future Past better be a big hit because Bryan Singer's got some quirk
well, no,
coming
he's,
up.
He's meant to be doing X-Men Apocalypse, so he'll probably move in with Roman Polanski and start making them from Europe, you know.
Allegedly.
There's a storyline of X-Men called Touched, isn't there?
Oh, I think that's the next storyline. Yeah. All right. Good Lord.
Wow.
That slipped down into the depths.
That was us getting serious for a moment. Yeah.
So let's get back to the fun stuff. Richard, I believe you found something else.
Oh, look, there's a bunch of stories I found here. There's just a couple that I'll rattle off really quickly. Here's one. Apparently, Call of Duty have announced that their latest game, Call of Duty Ghosts, is to have a celebrity voiceover. So let's...
Squad member acting. That's what's up. What up, though? My name is Big Snoop, D-O-double-G, and I'm here live and direct with the Call of Duty Ghost version. Doing my voice. You dig? Check it out. Ballistic vest ready. Those are some fine ass threads. You got that Spitfire drone now.
We're here today.
You dig?
They're doing this next mission in the rain. It's a drizzle for shizzle. I better put up my umbrizzle. I don't know.
Why? Is all I'm going to say to that.
I just enjoyed that.
There's a lot to say, but we won't.
Let's go back to Bryan Singer.
A man. How about this one? A man named Edward Cocaine was arrested on a drug charge in Florida.
Boy, he just advertised that out there, didn't he?
It is a story I really love this week. It's there are four states where blowjobs are illegal, but necrophilia isn't.
Wow.
In the US. According to this this week, the Louisiana state... This is taken from brobible.com. This week, the Louisiana state legislature voted down a bill that would repeal the state's long-standing ban on sodomy. Of course, the Supreme Court ruled long ago, laws like that are unconstitutional, but the American South ain't care. Just how much do some states to the South not care? Well, enough to tell consenting adults that they can't suck each other's private parts, but not enough to tell them that they can't... Fuck. Sorry, I said it. I had to say it. Dead people. I don't know what site this is, but...
That's a great site. Where are you visiting online,
this
by
is
way?
Called brobible.com.
Brobible.
I just discovered this today under weird
news. Snoop Dogg's favorite site, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brobible.
But you can find this on Gawker and Shutterstock as well.
Of course you can.
there are four states. Okay, you ready for the four states where oral sex is illegal, but as they delicately put it here, fucking the shit out of rotting corpses is not. Ready for the drum roll? Louisiana. Louisiana, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Or as I like to call it, Cansaw. there, so if you want to get it on with, I guess, a corpse of the opposite sex, you can.
Fair enough. Go.
So
fair
there you go. That, I just enjoyed that story.
Is there a pet cemetery nearby?
Oh. It's a slippery slope, that one.
I think you should guys save us with a little bit of Doctor Who.
I think I should. How about some of this then?
BBC One. Now here's Doctor Who.
It is pretty cool theme. Which season
That's
is that?
That's actually from the audiobooks, because I'm up to the Paul McGann audio adventures at the moment. I'm very, very excited by these. I went, because what happened this week, we all watched together the Doctor Who 50th Anniversary mm-hmm. Special, which we'll talk about in a minute, because that's where Dave's up to in his marathon. But just before we watched that, we watched the short film Night of the Doctor, where Paul McGann makes her appearance, which was particularly special for me because I'd finished, I don't think I mentioned this the last time we were on the show, I have finished my classic Doctor Who marathon.
I think you did mention it.
Yeah, there you
actually,
go.
Yeah.
So that's done, and now I've watched the Paul McGann film. And now I'm into the audio adventures, and I'm really, really enjoying this. And I think Paul McGann would have been my favourite Doctor had he continued on screen. And I think he might be in audio form, because here's just a little bit of a taster of what he sounds like when he's on air. I quite like this a little bit.
Look, boys, can we stop quibbling and shivering outside? I'm completely soaked. Should we just go into the palace and carry this on in there?
Into the heart of depravity and decay.
So long as I get a cup of tea, I don't mind. Come on.
Very much a callback. As long as I get a cup of tea. It reminds me of Tom Baker. It's like, tea, Harry? I don't think there's going to be any tea. But it's great. These audio adventures are fantastic. They get a lot of excellent cast and a lot of excellent directors. And the next one I'm going to listen to is actually written and directed by Mark Gatiss and stars Simon Pegg. Oh, so wow. I'm really looking forward to that one.
How
coming
many of these
up.
Did they make?
Stacked. McGann alone's done 72 of them.
Whoa.
And they've done them for all the surviving Doctors have done them at this point. So they're really big business. At the moment, like the current companion I'm listening to is Charlie. I've just listened to a bunch with Mary Shelley. And these ones are Charlie Pollard, played by the great India Fisher. So she's a wonderful companion, and she's one of the longest running. She was basically the first recurring companion since the end of the series. It's wonderful. She's got a really great sense of humor, and you get a really great sense of camaraderie between the two of them. It's a real shame McGann never got to do this on screen, but at least they gave him a tip of the hat at the 50th anniversary. So very much encourage you, if you're curious, maybe start with the McGann stuff, because the majority of his Doctor Who work, it's audio. Everybody else got to have at least a couple of seasons.
He was a really good Doctor too. It's a shame.
He was wonderful.
Shame he
the film's shaky.
Work.
It's got moments
of
brilliance, but he was great in it. But more excitingly, Dave Longo finished his marathon as well, because he's been starting from Eccleston, and we finally got to watch on David's 3D television.
His beautiful 3D display.
Day of the Doctor, and then
it's
we watched
it's like 150 inches. It's huge. Yeah, it's like it's, the whole. The
are we
whole
talking
wall.
About his TV here still?
Yeah, the TV. Yeah, he's got a little cinema. Like you guys don't know, because you know you haven't been to this house here. Yeah. But like the steps,
and
you
know,
have
all
a
Hoyts
in the backyard.
Yeah, it pretty much is. As like
we've
a,
actually converted 20, an old cinema into a house.
It's a 20-seat theaterette.
It's amazing. It's really amazing here, and the hookers and blow that you provide.
Close your ears, honey.
It's actually whenever we want to go get hookers and blow, David just says,
"Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves
some hookers and blow." Well, we watched that, and
then we watched Time of the Doctor directly
the Doctor,
after.
Yeah, so you're now.
I've seen Capaldi.
You see, your kidneys. Don't like the color. So, what did you think of? What did you think? How was the end? Yeah,
shit. I can actually swear.
You can.
I was going to self-censor, and I didn't.
You don't have to censor on this show. I've got Tucker's Law permanently on the soundboard.
Play
for this
Tucker's
show.
Law, where I can think about something clever to say.
Tucker's Law. If some cunt can fuck something up, that cunt will pick the worst possible time to fucking fuck it up, because that cunt's a cunt. I've got that embroidered on a tea towel at home.
And that's the new Doctor.
So if Stephen Moffat is some cunt, he can't fuck it. No, it was like one of the best episodes that I've watched. It was like unbelievably good.
Having now watched 800 episodes of Doctor Who, I can confirm that is, I think, my favourite episode.
Yeah, it's and really it's close.
Basically a yeah. rabbit, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, we're not really in the business of spoiling stuff, are we? On
this show, oh,
we
no.
can, we,
but we shouldn't. I mean, we just can say that, like, for the people that have watched it, like, I mean, I've only been watching Doctor Who for, like, you know, well, how long has it been? Four months, maybe
something like that.
And in the
I only started my marathon in late August, so I haven't been doing that. So you've done it since then. So yeah.
And since then, like, you know, every season there's some huge moments, like the reveals, like with River Song and stuff like that. And but it's been interesting to watch it like really rapidly without having to wait, and still like watching it rapidly, like the build up is increased, you know, because you just
but
you
now you're
just
in the same boat
it,
as the rest of us,
you know. And that episode delivered. The reveal at the end, like as you said, changes the direction of the show completely in these awesome, wonderful ways, and it's just
and it's
exciting.
Such a fan fest as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, that's and it was also great because we also and we're doing that, we we're followed doing, that up with Time of the Doctor as well, which was a great follow up to that as well. Which
you're watching them back to back, you get a deeper appreciation of both.
Wow. This is our 13th episode of
it is,
and that's the 13 Doctors.
Yes, there you go.
So there you go. Nice. It worked out really well.
It did work out really well.
Yeah. So David, Time of the Doctor as well. I remember you guys were saying that a lot of people were like a bit iffy with Time of the Doctor.
Yeah.
But I really loved Time of the Doctor.
Particularly coming,
because
you remember when this was originally scheduled, it came about a month after the 50th. You can imagine the awesomeness of the 50th. And then following that up with Time of the Doctor, people thought, oh, but I don't want to end the year on that one. I wanted to end the year on the 50th kind of thing. And people some people didn't like the way that Matt Smith ended up sort of going out really quickly. At the end.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
But I think he was given his due.
This is exactly it.
He's like, got such a wonderful final line as well. So, and look, spoilers for a TV show that came on 6 months ago. I think any Doctor Who fan has seen the final. So. I mean, you know, I'll always remember when I was the Doctor, you know. Mm. And it's like, that's you know, that's coming from Matt. I mean, Stephen Moffat wrote that for him.
That's precisely why I feel so awesome about Capaldi.
Yeah.
Because they sent Matt Smith out on a really good note.
Yeah.
Because I had that problem with David Tennant, because David Tennant is like the greatest ever.
Mm.
You're always thinking in the back of your mind, like, okay,
I don't want to go.
I've got two seasons left, you know.
Which,
yeah, exactly.
He always
and
says
that's, that. And that moment, that line is what cements it, which just goes, now I'm happy for you to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, your storyline is wrapped up perfectly.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to do. Let's have someone else come in. You don't feel like the show got cancelled or they changed it. Like, if you look at like something like Cheers or whatever, it's very clear it's like they replaced actors because people were unhappy or they left. But in Doctor Who, it doesn't have that. It's the first show I've seen where they change it up. If you think about it, like in 4 months, the cast has rotated for me, like
would have done it like
so many
between
times
between companions and doctors. Yeah. You would have had at least half a dozen changes in that
absolutely
time.
And you never notice it. And that's one of like the most amazing things.
That was
like,
one of the most brilliant
moments.
Because
it doesn't have that, you know, it got cancelled.
Well, back in, I guess it was 66, 67, that would have been the most brilliant moments in sci-fi history was the realization that they'd already changed the companions by that stage. And they did that as a soft test. The realization that they could change the entire cast and still keep going with the same show.
Mm.
And that was such a brilliant moment in sci-fi history and for the history of that show, which is why 50 years later we are still talking about Doctor Who, because otherwise it wouldn't have, you know. Can you think how many other shows have to reboot entirely in order to achieve what they do from one week to the next?
Yeah, and you have people like me, like in the span of 4 months, like the people listening can actually go back and hear me, like not having a clue what the hell this thing was.
Yeah.
You know, and now 4 months later, I'm like wanting to watch Tom Baker and like William Hartnell episodes, for Christ's sake, from like the... Like, what, the 60s?
Yeah, particularly because the last couple of episodes of the New Who give you a really really good sense of that history as well. So I think that that's another thing. And that's why I did my marathon, because I got to the end of season 7 when they do that great montage of, you know, where they have moments of Clara running through different points in the Doctor's history.
Yeah,
kind of thought,
that's a great episode.
I really, really, really need to go back and watch more, because I've got these. I really need to go back and watch these more entirety. And of course, me, not, I never do anything in 4/5. So I never do. I do everything in 4/5. So I never do anything in half measures.
Mm.
So that's a Doctor line. That's from McGann. So, you know, I had to go back and watch everything, because I wanted to have that sense of history. And then coming back and watching the 50th anniversary with you, two wonderful things happened. One, I had that entire sense of history watching the 50th anniversary episode, and it was so good seeing Tennant back on screen again. You know, every time I watch it, it's just such a joy to see him on screen. And I also got to experience watching it for the first time with you, which is seeing your joy having gone through that journey from New Who, which a lot of people would. And I thought that was just such a wonderful, you know, and it gives you a sense of how good that episode was, that there was three of us coming from three different angles to that thing. Well, actually five of us, because your wife and son were in the,
yeah, absolutely,
the room with us. We all came from it from different angles, and we all just had this great communal, joyful experience watching it. And that's what Doctor Who's about, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's what it's become. Mm. It, Modern Who is back to what it was in the 60s and 70s.
Also,
it's a communal experience.
Doctor Who is a show that people who are not necessarily hard sci-fi fans or anything else can watch.
Because it can be anything it wants to be. It can be hard sci-fi. It can be soft sci-fi. It can be fantasy. It can be a period drama. It can be a murder mystery, you know. Mm-hmm. It can do absolutely any of those things and still be quintessentially Doctor Who.
And at this, and at its core, in the more recent series as well, also very funny.
Yes.
It's got a great sense of humor. You know?
And you're just basically a rabbit, aren't you? just consider that a general warning.
I'm talking now.
I don't know where he gets that from.
Actually really glad that Dave's finally caught up.
Yeah. But now he's waiting with the rest of us until
think about this for future GMC episodes, though. When Doctor Who starts coming out again, we'll be able to talk weekly.
Week by week.
It.
Yeah, yes. I'm so looking forward to that.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I just wanted to quickly ask Richard just if you were planning on going through from Eccleston through still.
Absolutely, because I'm doing the McGann audio at the moment because I want to do that, and then I'll end that at some point with rewatching Night of the Doctor.
Okay.
So I'll put a cap on McGann series because the McGann audios are still going. They're doing a great series at the moment called Dark Eyes with Toby Schmidt. Not Toby,
really?
Not Toby Schmidt. Toby Jones. Toby Jones.
Zola.
Yeah. Toby Jones is. It's Toby Jones, isn't it? Yeah.
Toby Jones.
Zola.
So.
Yeah. He's in the current one, and it's just like this BAFTA, I think, award-winning audio drama, and that's the current one. And we're getting closer to the end of the Doctor's journey, but I don't think McGann has any plans to stop doing them because he loves doing the character. Mm. And basically, I think Moffat or Russell T. Davies said, "You've seen how the Eighth Doctor died now, so go and listen to him live." Yeah. And that's exactly
that's
what
awesome.
I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's wonderful. This is exactly what Doctor Who's about. And they're such wonderful, diverse stories, you know, the future of Venice and this alternate history where, like, you know, there's a new state created in the Bible Belt in the South and the Hellfire Club are running it and all these kind of stories that are coming out of it, which some of them can't be done on screen because the scale would be too big.
Right.
But you really get a sense of how all-encompassing it is. But yes, to answer your question, I will be going straight through. By the time Capaldi starts, I'll be up. We'll have rewatched everything.
That's awesome.
Excellent stuff.
Neck phase two.
By the way, I'd like to say to JB Hi-Fi out there that you still have, JB Hi-Fi Bondi, you still have season one of Doctor Who mislabeled and says $152.
Yeah.
Was that true, really?
Yeah.
I think you could probably take up at the counter and go, can you just check this on your computer,
yeah,
please?
I think I might have to.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I just found while you guys were rabbiting on about Doctor Who, because, you know, you bored me. And not really, I was actually listening. I found this article, though.
Well, if you were listening, what did we say?
You were saying that you really like there, the Doctor. While I had the page open for the Brian Singer article we were just talking about before, and I came
across the kitty fiddler,
alleged
Brian Singer.
I came across another article that's actually from a little while ago.
The alleged director Brian Singer.
This time he could be buggered.
Australian humor. You just had to slip what that one in, didn't you? Which is exactly what the kids said, I think. Allegedly.
James Dean, the porn star, not the classic actor.
Oh, don't tell
me.
Don't tell me Brian.
No. Nothing to do with Brian Singer.
Fiddled him as well.
No.
Allegedly.
I just
going to Oklahoma to fucking dig him up and shit.
I just wanted to say that.
Not that James Dean.
I just want to say, quote of the year for me personally.
Yeah.
James Dean was interviewed on the Sydney Morning Herald when he was here for Sexpo.
Oh, he's
and they were talking to him and saying that he's one of the rare porn stars who's actually made that transition from porn to mainstream legitimate Hollywood by being in The Kenyans, mm-hmm. which I don't know if I would really call mainstream Hollywood film.
Yeah. By that logic, Lindsay Lohan's legitimate.
Yeah, exactly. But it actually says, my favorite quote is, they actually said, are you ever tempted to leave the porn industry permanently now to shoot more mainstream films? And he said, no. I have wanted to do adult films my whole life. I didn't want to be a Hollywood actor, which is probably a good thing because he can't act.
No.
He has an enormous penis, but he can't act.
Have you guys bothered with
Will Travel? Yeah.
Have you guys bothered watching The Kenyans?
I've glanced through The Kenyans. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I had to fast forward through a lot of it. I fast forwarded through a lot of it looking for Lindsay Lohan's boobs, basically. Yeah, that was, you know, the highlight.
Probably have to look towards the bottom of the screen these days. just a general tip there.
That's where Brian Singer hangs out, isn't it?
Oh! Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right.
Oh,
do you have that Girl from Ipanema music?
Not on this soundboard. No.
Does anyone have it anywhere?
Like, I don't know. We need something to refresh.
Why do you want the Girl from Ipanema?
Oh, just because, you know, like, we need to craft a letter to Brian Singer.
Dear Brian.
Dear Brian. It's me, Margaret.
We've heard about what you did, allegedly. And we'd just like to say that it was wrong.
Allegedly.
So very wrong, allegedly.
In your new upcoming film, X-Men Days of Future Past, featuring Hugh Jackman, I was wondering...
Could you please reenact, please show us on the doll...
When you last fucked Ian McKellen, allegedly. did you notice a difference between the age of...
did he say, "You shall not pass"?
All right, let's cut the music.
Sincerely.
Why does that not work for me? Yeah, Daryl Summers used to go like this with his hands and the music would just stop. For me, they just ignore
me. No one would dare question Daryl Summers.
Actually,
that guy would fuck you up.
Mr. Summers.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw Dickie Knee? Exactly.
All right, so
why is it that in Hollywood directors are the only ones accused of like...
Because like everybody knows what a director is. If they said the gaffer was accused of the people, what the hell's a gaffer?
Well, like
the
main actors.
Yeah, like I said, the gaffer on Days of Future Past has been accused of allegedly raping a kitty in 1999.
The fourth assistant director of the second unit.
What do they do? Can you hit up what we've been watching?
You mean a bit of this work?
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
My eyes on you too, Brian. Always watching. Allegedly.
Let's talk a little bit about television because we talked about a film during Geek Movie. Oh, what's it called? The other show we do, Behind the Panels. That's
so.
The
so TV is the one I watch at home.
That's correct. Cool.
Oh, the medium-sized picture.
Since
box.
We were last on, Game of Thrones came back in a big way. In a big bad way.
I've never watched it. No.
And we don't want to give any spoilers away because there's a lot of rabid Game of Thrones.
Khaleesi dies in the first episode. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. She
allegedly.
Doesn't. Allegedly.
And Dave doesn't want us to spoil anything because he hasn't watched it yet. But Richard, wow.
Wow. Yeah. So to put that wow into context, we've just watched the second episode of Game of Thrones.
And it's wow. And I think it can be summed up for me perfectly from a Facebook post I saw, which said it's the first Game of Thrones episode they've watched where they immediately wanted to just rewind, start again.
Yeah. Look, it's... I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago that I wasn't looking forward to the fourth season only because I just felt a little bit over it. The second the first frame of the fourth season started, I was like, okay, I'm back.
I'm in, baby.
And I was back in that world and I really enjoy it. And because I kind of fall in and out of fantasy stuff. I prefer my sci-fi. That's why I do a weekly thing on Doctor Who. But, you know, man, this is how you make a TV show, man.
It is. It's fantastic. So along with Game of Thrones, we also had this week the second episode of Silicon Valley.
Which I'm caught up on now.
Which you're finally caught up on. I don't think the second episode was as strong as the first.
No.
It's still a good show, don't get me wrong.
I am done. No,
it's still very, very clever.
It's still very clever, and it really is. We are talking super geek humor. I mean, we are talking some of the references when they're rattling off their
specialties. Have we downloaded Nip Alert for your iPhones?
When they're rattling off their specialities. And I'm sitting there going, I know all these terms.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, this is all real stuff. Some of it's kind of inflated the way, but he's really done his homework on putting this together. It was summed up for me because Nicholas and my son Nicholas and my wife Katie hadn't seen the first episode. They watched the second episode with me, and it's really interesting because without the first episode for context, Katie actually made the observation that she there were no likable characters in it.
Interesting.
Because in the second episode, nobody does seem very likable.
But I think that's sort of typical of that type of show. Mm. the characters are never terribly likable. They're recognizable.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily likable.
But I think the two principals, Big Head, Big Head and the creator of Pied Piper, I forget his character name.
Yeah.
But they are actually quite likable in the first episode. Mm. And so you're carrying on their story, but we don't have that context in the second episode.
Mm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. But it is a good show. It's well worth having a look at, well worth catching up on, especially if you're at all. I mean, you're listening to this show, so you're probably a geek or a nerd of some kind. Mm. This is a show made for you.
And if you're a Mike Judge fanatic like I am, like I've watched everything he's ever done like my whole life, and it just is amazing for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily agree that it's a bad episode, or I don't think you think it's bad. Like,
I don't think it was bad. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I just think it's not as strong.
The first one came out of the gate so strong.
Yeah.
I just felt that it was like an organic following up of what happened.
Well, and I think as a complete piece, it will work very nicely within the complete piece. But if you're taking it as an episode per episode basis, this isn't a jumping on point because there's nobody to grasp onto. Whereas if you're coming from the first episode, you're grasped onto the characters, is my point. The other thing that came out this week was, actually it was last week, but we weren't here once again, was the DC, the Robot Chicken, Return of Robot Chicken, officially returned as well. Their first episode of the season came out this week. But last week they released their DC Comics Special 2, Villains in Paradise. And it was pretty freaking funny.
I really liked it. I wax and wane on Robot Chicken because it's hit or miss.
Well, it is very hit or miss, but their specials are generally pretty strong.
Particularly because it was taking aim at DC and it really didn't pull any punches.
And they raised some really good points without ever raising a point.
Particularly given that Warner owns Cartoon Network.
But it's kind of like David Letterman making fun of CBS all the time.
That's true.
You know, I think they can get away with
it. Or The Simpsons with Fox.
The Simpsons with Fox, exactly. But yeah, if you can get a chance to have a look at the DC Comics special, it is very funny, especially for comic book fans. This is a really funny thing. The other thing I want to talk about in television is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has definitely gotten stronger. I think
ratings are still slipping.
But. Well, yeah, I don't expect that. But the show itself, since the boost that Captain America the Winter Soldier gave it by basically giving it a story to follow, the last two episodes have been really intriguing.
Yeah, I wonder if any people have actually gone and watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first time as a result of Cap 2.
It's possible.
Yeah, because it is a direct continuation. It's as all the featurettes that came out. I don't think anybody in television and film has ever done this before. There was a featurette that came out. And you could almost do a drinking game for every time somebody said, it's all connected.
It's all connected, or it's new.
It's new. Or we've never done this before. It's a bold move for Marvel and Disney. But it is. It really is actually an interesting approach that they've taken, and you really do continue the story. Allegiances have shifted, and I'm genuinely interested in what happens next in S.H.I.E.L.D., which I haven't been for the first 17
episodes. There are direct connections now between the last two episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain America the Winter Soldier. So if you saw that film and you liked it, this is stuff happening around the edges of all of that.
Did we not do a weekly comic book show, All Things Comic Book, Behind the Panels, if you want to go check that out, behindthepanels.net. If you're listening to this show for the first time, go and check out our other book show. If we weren't doing that show, I would not have stuck with S.H.I.E.L.D. so much.
Yeah,
because it wasn't for the first dozen episodes. It was a weak show.
Yeah, and it's actually gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And we're also, the promises are in the coming episodes, because we're rounding up the season now. So the season's, how many episodes is the season in the end?
I think 22 or something like that. But also, it's like I said, the caliber of guest stars they've been having in as well. Bill Paxton, Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt this episode? Great stuff.
Wonderful, yeah.
Great stuff.
And they've also got, what's her name?
Kobe Smulders is
coming
into it. Kobe
Smulders and Samuel Jackson's coming up. They've got...
they had Jamie Alexander recently.
Recently. And what's her name? She's in all of Weed and Stuff. She's coming up as a cellist.
Oh, Amy Acker. Amy Acker. And we also had as Victoria Hand. That was the girl from Deep Blue Sea and several other feature films.
Right, yeah.
I forget what her name is now all of a sudden.
Saffron Burrows,
thank
maybe?
Thank you, Saffron Burrows. Okay.
Yeah. So they've had a lot of good guest stars in there at the moment. I mean, Patton Oswalt is the Geek's Geek, so... it was nice to see him in there as well.
He was so good.
He was great. I think he's coming back for another episode. It'll be good to see him as a semi-recurring character, actually.
It's fun watching these characters come in. Arrow also this week.
Yes.
Arrow is still goddamn strong.
Showing, I mean, unfortunately, its ratings are dropping too, but it's actually now showing everybody else how it should be done. This week we actually saw two characters introduced from Star Labs, and my understanding is they'll be feature players in... The Flash.
Well, Nicholas made the observation. He said, "There's your connection.
There's your connection
between the two shows."
But apparently, I think one of them is actually, if you listen to the names, one of them's Vibe, and the other one is another hero as well. So they both eventually They have the thing there. They may not do anything vibe. With them. He's Vibe.
I didn't even make the connection. Yeah, I love the fact that they also mentioned Iris.
Yes.
So they made mention of Iris, basically saying Iris has been at his side in the bed the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because apparently he's in hospital.
And I love Felicity's line, which is something like, you know, oh great, he's in a coma and he still moved on.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Flash greatly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's getting deeper, and you know, there's a lot of. All the storylines are coming together in that as well. So that's,
And you've got Manu Bennett.
I've got Manu Bennett coming in. I'm going to take you, Oliver. I'm
going to kill you. Who do you think taught you to fight?
You killed Shadow. I'm going to kill you. So, yeah.
Spoilers.
It's not really a spoiler. that storyline's been running for about a year and a half now.
And Manu Bennett has been in it since episode one. So.
And now he's like properly Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cool. So, loving, look at me.
Was it Don't Waste Your Bullets?
Yeah. Look, I love this show, and I love Green Arrow, as you know, and I had every reason to hate the show, but it is the shiznit, as Snoop would say. Is he back to Snoop Dogg? Because they have
he's like
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Lion.
He's Snoop
Lion. No, he's not being Snoop Lion.
Lion. He was Snoopzilla.
Are you shitting me?
No. I can prove this to you. I will Google it while
Snoop
you continue
Zilla.
Talking.
I think it's Snoopzilla. Yeah. But although I think, Star Wars, I think he Dave. Refers to himself as Snoop Dogg in that thing. Talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, the set photos.
I haven't seen the set photos.
Have you seen the set
no.
photos? Yeah. Episode 7 is filming, and there's a set photo of a
I thought they weren't starting shooting until May.
No, they've started.
Oh, they did start. Yeah. Peter Mayhew is definitely in.
Yeah, we heard this.
So he's definitely in.
The set photo was of a foot that they believe is the foot of an AT-AT or an AT-AT.
Oh.
In Abu Dhabi, they're filming, which is rumored to be Tatooine.
Oh. And so not Tunisia.
I don't know about that, actually.
Tunisia has always been traditional.
No, they actually pointed that out. They're doing in Abu Dhabi rather than Tunisia this time. Okay. So.
I don't think they're doing main unit filming yet, though. It looks to me like just like
from my understanding was main unit actually starts in May.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, because May was like a tradition for them because Star Wars films always get released in May. They were going to start the shooting in May and there was going to be all this stuff coming up. So, and there was all this rumor that a Comic-Con would be when they finally announced the cast.
Yeah.
And announce all the people in it. So we'll see. Star Wars is a hard one because I am really excited at my core because I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I'm also so worried.
Richard, who's Snoop Dogg?
Snoop's also known as, his real name is Calvin Cordoza Broadus Jr.
I don't want to know his real name.
But he's also known as Snoop Doggy Dog, Snoop Lion, DJ Snoopadelic, and Snoopzilla.
There you go.
And
Snoopzilla.
Yeah.
I like Snoop Psychedelic or whatever.
What's P. Diddy called now while we're at it?
Idiot?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Pretentious man?
I don't know.
Coming up next, live on MTV, is Pretentious Man.
I think he's still P. Diddy because I think he was Puff Daddy, then he became Diddy, and then he was P. Diddy. So I think he's currently P. Diddy.
And when he was your lovers are Sean PD Combs. Out
there, Sean Combs. Sean Puffy Combs.
The Puffy kind of takes the seriousness out of it.
He should wear Puffy sleeves.
Puffy takes the seriousness out of it. There's a show title.
Look at the way he's holding.
Allegedly. what
okay.
else we got, boys?
That's all for me, dudes. I'm geeked out. What was that?
I don't know. I thought I'd play a bit of Snoop. What do you reckon?
Play a bit of Snoop.
Let's play a bit of Snoop, yeah.
Guys, I'm having a flashback of like when I was 10, there was this director and he came into my house and yeah.
Show me on the Lego.
I think he did the X-Men movies.
I think it was Allegedly.
Imagine that in court. Oh my God.
It's all coming back to me.
Brian Singer came into my house and he made an X-Men film and I still haven't... Still haven't gotten over it because I love the X-Men and he's just.
That's why they
my
fired him from. Superman Returns. If you think about, it, there was a kid there.
Yeah,
they could ask him.
Speaking of cinematic rape, Superman Returns.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly, no, it was shit. Yeah. How about a bit of this? The fucking Eagle Double G. Snoop Dogg. Da 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 da. You know I'm mobbing with the D.R.E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker.
Bryan Singer.
For a complete playlist of today's tunes, you can go to behindthepanels.net.
For shizzle.
Where you can also find playlists from previous episodes.
Behind the panels.
Oh, sure. Geek what, Movie Club.
What show
hey.
Do you think you're on?
I'm on the show that we do every
this is
day.
Film actually. This is Film Actually, right?
Film Actually. But oh, speaking
we,
of
we do a show every day.
Yes, sir, we had a tearful reunion. Well, not a tearful
well, not
reunion.
Not tearful at all. We had...
Well,
you did.
I
had
well, I have as well. I spoke to my Twitter.
I had a lovely conversation with Josh Philpott the other day, for those who are old-time Film Actually.
As soon as you say Josh Philpott, it takes me back to introducing
Absolutely.
Josh Philpott.
Absolutely, and I'm
Let's
joined
get rid
by,
of this guy.
I'm joined by Josh Philpott.
I'll happily go. I like you, Josh. Replace me, please, sir. Get me out of this. Come back.
Anyway,
free
the bottom,
me.
Bottom line, the bottom line on all this is that we were talking to Josh. We're going to try and get Josh.
We've been singering you from the start, haven't we?
We're going to try and get Josh.
In both ears at the same time.
Oh. We're going to try and get Josh
that
on
would be
to get
oral
club.
Sex.
Would you two just be quiet?
David Hush now. We're having the adults are speaking.
We're talking about rape, sir.
Long and short of it, we're going to try and get Josh onto the show in the next few weeks. So
I'm going to just have a cone.
On that note, we're going to end it. We're going to bring this clubhouse meeting to a meaningful end before
wolf,
we just degenerate
wolf,
into
wolf,
nothing.
Wolf,
wolf, wolf. Wolf. Yes, so to take us out today.
Snip dog.
No. To take us out today, we're going to have Lex Luthor sing to us. But before that. Richard, where can people find more of you?
Oh, fuck if I know. They can find me online at
Would
Twitter.
Put that away. No smoking in the studio.
We're nearly finished anyway.
Stop pretending that you're stoned, Dave.
Hey, we wanted to create the illusion that nerds are cool.
Like we've just been playing.
Yeah, because drugs make you cool.
We've just been playing the Snoop Dogg.
The Snoop Dogg.
The Snoop Dogg from Dr. Dre's.
We've just been playing a bit of Snoopy Dogg. You know?
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
No, I have a mild depression and some glaucoma. Sorry.
Well, Mr. Sunshine, you can find me on Twitter at DVDBits. That's DVDBits on Twitter. You can find me online at therealbits.com. That's the RELLBits.com. You can also find me at behindthepanels.net and digging through Dave's garbage for used joints.
Roach clips.
I'm Dane DeHaan, and you can find me selling burgers at McDonald's.
Can I just say, Dane, one thing we didn't touch on in this Spider-Man conversation, if you go and listen to Behind the Panels this week, we did Amazing Spider-Man 2. Dane DeHaan is like the most biggest cat-stroking kind of
It's exactly
villain.
What I said to Dave. I said, I like DeHaan. He was good in Chronicle, but the problem with this was no light and shade in this
character
at all.
He's got the Hitler hairdo.
The Hitler hairdo. The sunken eyes.
Yeah,
and he just looks like he's a bad dude from the minute you meet him.
But then they had that conversation with the two, and it's like, yeah, dude, right on. Yeah, like we're like totally young kids just hanging out in New York, not knowing what to do, aren't we? Yeah, let's say things like, for sure, man, dude, it's all on the wrist, dude. Yeah. And the people will think that we're young kids hanging out in New York, not the fact that Andrew Garfield's probably in his late 30s.
Can I say, but, you know, like,
he's mid-30s.
I'd like to say that you said young kids and it's all on the wrist, but that's. Bryan Singer wasn't
speaking
here.
Speaking of Bryan Singer, yeah.
Allegedly.
Only you could make that connection, David.
Moving right along.
You can find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh. Are you going to actually give a real name this time?
Sally Field.
All right, Sally Field.
Cool. www.sallyfieldsgoodcups.com. That's right. a damn good
Sally cup. Field has a job. She's now a night nurse. You know, she's doing good. She's providing for the family. Yeah. And let's just hope that hospital doesn't get attacked.
I reckon they could have made that movie so much more edgy. It was like, Peter, but I'm doing phone sex at night just to make the bills.
Peter, I'm still relevant.
Can you imagine?
I'm still relevant, bitch.
Sally Field doing phone sex. It's like, tell me you like me. Tell me you like me. I really like you. You really like me.
Can you imagine the behind the scenes meetings? It's like, Sally, Michael Sheen. Was it Michael Sheen? Yeah. Michael Sheen will not be returning. No, Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen
will not be.
Is it Michael Sheen? What the hell?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Martin Sheen will not be returning for the new role. Don't worry, my acting ability is so good. I can cover for both
and
of us.
You really like me.
Sally Field.
We are going out today.
That was your Sally Field impersonation?
Sally Field!
Some harpy.
Can I just tell you that when Sally Field was
what
in
the
things...
hell, man?
When Sally Field in the 70s...
I should clarify. I thought she was awful in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, awful.
But I like Sally Field. I think she's really good.
I was say in the Lincoln 70s, Inject when Sally Field was like hanging out with Burt Reynolds and she was in things like Smokey and the Bandit, she was hot, man.
Forrest Gump.
You had to go to Forrest Gump.
I love you, Mom.
Yeah, right, she was a yummy mummy. Let's put her out there.
All right.
Sally Field, milk.
Clubhouse adjourned.
We're only at 45 minutes.
All right. We're going to go out today with a clip of music that we heard today.
That's why people listen to us, for this derailment.
Really, you think? We're going out today with the robot chicken.
Oh, imagine Sally Field.
Richard's got Sally Field on Wikipedia.
Sally Field. I want to see the film Sally Field Backdoor Teen Mom.
Well, it would be a bit of a stretch because she's not a teen.
I didn't say she was playing the lead.
Oh, okay.
You could get James Dean to fuck her.
Well, he doesn't want to do mainstream.
That's true.
Sally Field's pretty mainstream.
That's true, yeah. You want some of that underground porn for him.
All right, on that note, we are going to say goodbye to everybody.
Actually, she's already got a TV movie called Maybe I'll Come Home in the Spring. So,
and let's hear the dulcet tones of Lex Luthor singing us out.
You mean Sex Luthor?
With Sex Luthor.
Welcome to the 1986 Smallville High School Talent Show. My name is Sexy Lexi, and we are Sex Luthor.
Turn it off.
Oh, baby, baby, with that ass so sweet, where the brain is stuck, that you're dying to meet. Sex Luthor. Sex Luthor. Come on, Lana Lang, Lana Lang. With that sweet boom tang, I wrote you a song, I shake hands with my wang. Sex Luthor! Sex Luthor!
I said turn it off!